Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Nita Lowey, I guess the first thing I want to ask you is about the House budget resolution. Those are big words, but they have tremendous impact on the lower Hudson Valley. What can you tell us?
Well, I'm glad you asked me about that because, you know, the Democrats have different values from the Republicans, and the GOP budget resolution is a statement of their priorities. It was passed by the House Republican majority. It does not reflect the priorities of the lower Hudson Valley. And I oppose the GOP budget because it raises taxes on hardworking families, making it harder to pay a mortgage. It guts investments in middle-class research, which has been a real priority of mine. It eliminates $187 billion in transportation funding over the next decade, which will hurt job growth, cuts 35,000 children from a Head Start education program, including 2,330 New Yorkers, and threatens Medicare benefits for seniors. Now, do you want to hear about the Democratic budget, which I supported?
Sure.
The budget that was introduced by House Democrats focuses on growing our economy by providing tax relief to hardworking families so they can afford a home. It is paid for by closing special interest tax loopholes. It invests in biomedical research. And according to the NIH, I tell my colleagues that and my friends, every $1 in the NIH grants generates 2.21 in economic benefit. There have been 43 recent NIH grants totaling $20.6 million to New York 17, which translates into more than $45 billion in local economic benefit. This is so important for whether you're worried about cancer or heart disease, diabetes or autism. We have to fund the NIH. And it funds a six-year, $478 billion surface transportation reauthorization proposal. It prioritizes smart investments such as early childhood education, protecting the Medicare guarantee. So I'm going to continue to fight for a federal budget that works for the lower Hudson Valley. We want to create jobs. We want to make it easier to own a home, plan a secure retirement, and attend college. And I should talk about college affordability if you want me to, because this is a real priority of mine. It is a great example of how the Republican budget really fails to help Americans get ahead. And we could talk about that. I was recently at Westchester Community College. I work closely with Westchester Community College, with Rockland Community College. And at both of these round tables, we talked to local students, the administrators, about proposed cuts to federal financial aid programs in the House Republican budget. It would have a devastating impact on local college students and hardworking families. For instance, $79.1 million in Pell Grants helps more than 20,000 low-income students in New York 17 attend college. Approximately 6,000 Westchester Community College students receive $22 million in Pell Grants annually, and more than 2,400 students at Rockland Community College, roughly one-third of the RCC student body, received more than $8.7 million in Pell Grants. Now, when I talk to these students, it's clear to me that many of these students have families and sometimes work two or three jobs. The parents do, the kids do. If we cut financial aid programs, these students would not be able to afford their degree and achieve their goals.
Nita,
so we should be investing more.
Nita, I wanted to stop you for one moment and ask you this. Just so everybody gets it, the Republicans have the majority in the House of Representatives. So the question then becomes, you've come up with an ideal budget according to the Democrats, but it has no chance of passage, does it?
Let me say this. Their budget passed, ours didn't.
Right.
Now, as the new ranking, not new, I've been it for a couple of years, the ranking member on appropriations.
A huge job.
I have the opportunity, this is a big deal, which means I'm in control with the chair. Better to be chair than ranking. I work closely with Hal Rogers from Kentucky, who's the chair of the Appropriations Committee. And in the Senate, it's Barbara Mikulski. Unfortunately, she's going to retire with Dick Shelby. And we work together. And Pell Grants, for example, is a priority of mine and Barbara Mikulski. So when we're dealing with the budget in appropriations, we can move these numbers around. National Institutes, for example, I always push higher than the budget. Head Start, always get millions more. So this is a budget. It's an ideal plan for the Republicans.
So what is ours is. So what is the incentive for them to give you anything if they've got the votes?
The difference is you don't have to, you can't fund programs based on a budget. Every year you have to pass a bill, an appropriations bill. And just like last year, we got together, we sat down. I have a very good relationship with the chair in the House and the Senate. And we can make changes. We don't have to obey the budget. It's just a guideline. It gives the Republicans and Democrats and the Budget Committee something to talk about. But we can modify this, and we have to pass an appropriations bill. Otherwise, you wouldn't have any money for the NIH or Pell Grants or anything else.
So very quickly.
I'm talking about, to me, a budget, and the Republican budget shows their character. It tells you who they are. When you read the Democratic budget, it reflects our values. And when you're writing an appropriations bill, we have some tough negotiations, but in the end, we managed to compromise. Remember they held up the Homeland Security bill last cycle?
Yep.
And what happened, which was amazing, I couldn't believe they held up a Homeland Security bill. When it finally passed on the floor, 167 Republicans wouldn't even vote for it, and that was because of the immigration provision.
So we only have a minute, so I wanted to know something. Because you have this incredibly important position as the ranker, meaning the top Democrat, do you have to consult with the president at all, who has his own plans for the economy and the budget?
Well, the president submits a budget, and we don't have to abide by it, but I do consult with him. I consult with Sean Donovan, who used to be a New Yorker, who's head of the office, OMB, Office of Management and Budget. And sometimes we agree, sometimes we'll raise an account, sometimes we'll lower an account. But the president's blueprint is obviously very important.
Nita Lowey, we love having you on the show. As you have indicated, being the ranker on appropriations is a huge job, and we thank you so much for being there and taking this time to talk to us.
It is always my pleasure, Alan, and I thank you for keeping so informed.